morning, another beautiful above normal day all across central and southern Saskatchewan. Brent Lauks filling in one more time. Evan Bray doing his farm duties this week, but he's back in the chair here tomorrow. We have got a very busy, action-packed program for you over the next 4 hours here, but I want to start right into it with Robert Freeburg. We've got Robert in studio right now. And of course, Robert is Saskatchewan's Firearms Commissioner and former Chief Firearms Officer. And we're talking about the federal government pilot project that was announced this week in this buyback of assault-style firearms. They're going to start this next month in Nova Scotia. And I know for firearm owners here in the prairies, Robert, they're saying, what's next? When is this going to impact people here in this province? And welcome to the show, by the way.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and good morning to your listeners. I hope the harvest is going well today. Well, I'm glad we've got some time this morning, Brent, because to be honest with you, I mean, I've been involved in this for 5 years, and our government's been very supportive of our efforts to advocate for responsible firearms owners. And I've been able to meet with the public safety minister, the deputy commissioner of the RCMP, and many officials in public safety, senators, the list goes on and on, indigenous partners, and Métis Nation, who's been very supportive. So, but again, on this particular topic and what's being raised, I mean, there's so many points to cover regarding this press release from the public safety minister yesterday. I hope we can get through it all, because his whole presentation, for the most part, contains so much misinformation and totally false characterizations around the description of firearms and law-abiding firearms owners that it has an extremely negative effect on Saskatchewan residents and frankly, across Canada.
So that's what people are going to be asking right now. With this pilot project that they're going to launch in Cape Breton next month, this will be the beginning of what will eventually roll out right across the country, will it not?
Well, I'm not convinced it's going to roll out, Brennan. I mean, call me a pessimist here, but, you know, I understand Cape Breton, and I understand the situation in Nova Scotia and the emotional issue that goes with this. But when you really get down to it, I mean, the police chief out there, with all due respect, indicated this isn't going to have a negative effect on him. And I'm not going to question that it won't, because the pilot program involves 200 firearms. Oh, and they say it's going to take them 8 weeks to do this. Or, again, we have, you know, small communities in Saskatchewan that have more than 200 firearms. So, again, I don't see how that pilot program is going to translate into an effective program across Canada. We're talking hundreds of thousands of firearms.
The way it's going to work, my understanding, is anyone in Cape Breton who has a valid gun license will then be notified by the Mounties that they are eligible to participate. And I guess their option is volunteer to turn in their firearm and get some sort of compensation. Keep the firearm and destroy it yourself, which you'd have to pay for, or don't abide by the law and you run the risk of then arrest.
Well, but there's also a few things that you have to be aware of. I mean, some of the firearms that are being characterized here as assault-style firearms, which, by the way, I have to tell you right up front, I take exception to. I mean, we have firearms on that list, Brent, that are single-shot, African safari rifles that were built in 1956 that weigh 22 pounds and you can't even buy ammunition for anymore, that are worth somewhere north of $120,000. And we have one stakeholder that has, dozens of those. So, I mean, we're talking millions of dollars in just one particular individual. But that being said, the interesting part of that is that many firearms owners in this province don't even recognize or understand or will know that the firearm that they own currently that they bought 20 years ago is affected. Mm-hmm. The registered firearms, and again, the poster child for this is AR-15s, but those are registered. They can send a letter out to somebody and go, look, you're offside. You have to turn this in. Don't surrender it to the program. But there's going to be many firearms owners that are not even aware that of the which one of those 2,500 other models they even have or even are aware that they are even affected. So I don't know how we're going to get through that.
And on top of that, if you do have a valuable, as you mentioned, almost like a collector's firearm, they're not going to get that kind of compensation out of a program like this, will they?
No. I mean, we've looked at the numbers that they're suggesting, and they're certainly in a lot of cases on the low end of the scale. Not saying it applies in all cases, but in many. And then he made a comment yesterday that these are used firearms and they should have used value. I can tell you personally, I've got two or three that are brand new, still in the box, that never came out, that I bought a couple weeks before the ban came out, not knowing it was coming, and they've never been used. So again, we can go on and on about that. But I can tell you in this province that, as you well are aware, when we brought in the SAS Firearms Act, we've been very specific that in order to have a compensation program that's effective, people have to be properly compensated. And we're going to be staying laser focused on that, because in order to get compliance, people have to get proper values, for, of course, if this happens at all.
Our guest kicking off the Evan Bray Show today is Robert Freeburg, Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner. Robert, also former Chief Firearms Officer for the province of Saskatchewan. And, of course, we're talking about the announcement that came out of Ottawa this week that the long-awaited, I guess by some, gun buyback program is going to kick off with a pilot project next month based in Cape Breton. Now, coming up after 9 this morning, the Minister of Corrections, but also the Minister here in Saskatchewan, the deal with firearms legislation. Tim McLeod is going to join us as well, and my understanding is Minister McLeod will have some sort of an announcement for us here regarding what came out of Ottawa yesterday. How do you see this program? You know, you've got word out of Ottawa where the minister was caught basically not realizing he was being recorded, saying he doesn't think this is a viable program for the police to enforce in any way. So when you get the sense that they are trying to appease their supporters in Quebec, this thing probably doesn't have the legs to garner support across the country, does it?
Well, I don't see that. And, you know, really, Brent, and I'm really going to sort of hit back hard on this, because I think we need to, is, you know, honestly, Canada doesn't have a gun problem involving law-abiding gun owners. I mean, we've said that for a long time. What it's got right now is a problem with our government, federal government, following in the footsteps of, you know, the former, you know, prime minister that thinks that banning and seizing guns from sports shooters, hunters, and Indigenous and Métis harvesters will somehow prevent crime. And they're doing it by banning law-abiding people's guns and then labeling them as criminals if they don't surrender their guns to the government to be destroyed or for partial or absolutely no compensation because of special interest groups. So, you know, again, people need to realize that of violent crimes in Canada, 97% don't involve firearms. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not an issue. And this province has been very I think leading the country in programming. We've built a ballistics lab. We're doing a lot of work around revocations or refusals of people who, you know, shouldn't have firearms. We've been doing a lot of work with tracing of guns, working with law enforcement partners to do some things that are, you know, really positively impact gun crime. And you may be surprised to hear this, but we get zero funding from the federal government for that. Mm. Now, Prime Minister Carney did mentioned back in April that he was making a campaign promise that he was going to actually provide some funding to the Saskatchewan Firearms Lab and the RCMP Firearms Lab. Interestingly enough, this gun ban comes through because they say it's a commitment made by their government, but I haven't heard a word about any funding for this lab, which is direct initiative to prevent gun crime. So, again, I'm frustrated, as you can tell from the tone of my conversation.
Well, and you're sharing the frustration that a lot of gun owners in our province have been sharing with you as well. And if anyone listening to our program right now has a question or a comment for Robert Freeburg, Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner, we'd love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. And this comes with a pretty steep price tag, this entire program. What are they saying, $700 and some million it's supposed to cost?
Brent, again, misinformation. I mean, there's $742 million that they've said they've previously budgeted, which is interesting because our understanding was $500 million, but I won't dicker on that. But at the end of the day, their own people have indicated this program can run into the billions of dollars. But rather than come forward and say, yeah, we're going to have another boondoggle like we had with the long gun registry, they're saying, oh, no, it's capped at $740 and it's first come, first serve, and it's voluntary. What's voluntary, Brent? I mean, if you don't turn them in, you're now a criminal when the amnesty expires. I mean, there's no voluntary process here whatsoever.
And you think about the workload this is going to put on local police forces. You know, Cape Breton's pretty small example how they're going to roll this out. But you think how it'll operate once they get it up and running. So far, they're saying it's an online process, my understanding, where you as a firearm owner have decided you're going to partake of this program. You go onto a website, give your information, and at some point somebody comes and collects your gun. That's
well, it. Again, more misinformation, because you're partially correct in what you're saying. And, you know, you're going to go on and register. But there's no guarantee you're going to be accepted into the program for compensation. So you've now basically told the government what you have, because most of these guns are unregistered.
Yeah.
They have the government or even myself, and we have no idea where they are and who has them. And so they're going to basically say, well, go ahead and register, but we've ran out of money, but and now we know that you have these guns. So I don't see where that's going to play out very well. And then the other side is around the police resources. I mean, the Ontario Police, OPP, have turned around and said, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, there was numbers kicked around. There was, it was going to look at $50 million for them to roll out something like this. And they just said, look, we're not going to do this. And we don't see the value in it. And again, in this province, our public safety minister, and he'll talk more about it. I mean, we've said to the RCMP and the municipal police, we want you focused on crime and gun crime and illegal use of firearms, not being a perlator or Loomis or courier company. I mean, as I've kind of jokingly said, like, what's next? Uber Eats? I need a pizza in a hurry. Get over here with it. Like, come on. I mean, our police agencies need to be focused on what we want them to do, and we don't have enough resources, which in that leaked audio, I mean, that's something I can agree with on the public safety minister, is he said we don't have enough police forces to enforce this law, so how are we going to have enough to actually go out and collect these firearms?
How many firearms do you think we're talking across the country?
Well, that's a great question, and I actually brought some stats that and you may be shocked to hear, but you know, 26% of homes in Canada have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that works out to about 2.2 million Canadians who own somewhere north of 10 million firearms.
Wow.
So we're talking a lot of firearms,
yeah.
And again, when the minister...
But they all wouldn't fall into the category that they want to.
Many do. I mean, this whole assault-style firearm issue is just... they used the same thing back in the day with the handguns when they called them Saturday Night Specials.
Yeah.
I mean, they always like to characterize them because it sounds good and it makes it all Hollywood. But at the end of the day, as I said, there's 22s in here, there's plinkers, there's varmint rifles, there's hunting rifles. Again, the SKS, which is a very popular firearm, mm-hmm. and used in a lot of our Indigenous and Métis Nation communities for hunting and harvesting. Now, the very people who have brought this forward, the special interest groups, have come out yesterday in the media and said this whole program is useless. It's a waste of money unless they ban the SKS. So it's an insatiable appetite. I mean, one of the comments that the minister... mentioned yesterday is that, you know, we're turning off the tap, but we need to empty the swimming pool. That was what one of the comments was made in French. So, again, this isn't the end of this, Brent.
Oh, by far it's not the end of it. It's certainly rising more to the attention of people now, though, that they've announced they will begin this pilot project in Cape Breton. This morning we're starting off with Robert Freeburg. Robert, Saskatchewan's Firearms Commissioner, former Chief Firearms Officer for the province. And coming up after 9, we've got Public Safety Minister Tim McLeod is also going to be joining us. And my understanding is the minister may have some sort of an announcement at the provincial level that he'll share with us relating to this announcement that came out of Ottawa yesterday about the gun buyback program for individuals. We'll start with a pilot project next month, beginning in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. I got a couple of texts in here. Different points of view on this, Robert. Let's take a look at them here. Dylan says, if you own a gun for fun, you don't need it, plain and simple. No one should cry about a bunch of people losing their toys that was designed to kill. However, he says, if you live on a farm or you need it for hunting, that's a little bit of a different story.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't mean to be offside with your listener, but I need to take exception to the comment. I mean, they're not toys and they're not treated as such. And the people that own them are vetted thoroughly through RCMP background checks. They're trained. They go through a process. They, you know, securely store them. And again, law-abiding firearms owners haven't been the ones causing the issues out there that we see in the communities. The other side of this is, as well, is we've got a very good licensing system in Canada and regulatory system, and people have been very responsible in following it. But at the end of the day, if this comes into place and you're taking people's property away and not compensating them properly, there's going to be non-compliance, and we're going to go into a situation like we had with alcohol and marijuana many, many decades ago where that was prohibited, and guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And now we've, of course, many years later, we've legalized it and controlled it and got it, trying to get it back on track again. We've got a good system right now. And again, they're not viewed as toys, but people do enjoy sport shooting, and
yep.
And there's a lot of uses across a lot of areas.
And, you know, I know some of our listeners have made the comment in text, well, it's only handguns that are actually registered. That's not correct, is it?
No, unfortunately. It's, the handguns are registered and controlled, but then they've been, of course, banned. You know, they've been grandfathered, which, ironically, they're not doing with these guns. Like the rifles that they, of course, characterize as assault-style firearms, they want to go out and buy and take away, and yet they've grandfathered the handguns. So the point that we've made to the federal government is, why not do the same thing here and save yourself billions of dollars and have it regulated? And, you know, we're not getting any traction on it whatsoever because of, you know, again, special interest groups that, you know, want a photo op of these things being chewed up and chopped up. I don't get it.
Okay. Stay with us for over the top of the hour here, Robert, and we'll get the minister on, Tim McLeod here. Final comment on one of our texters, though, says, I own about 20 guns. Two of them are handguns, which are registered, and they have knowledge of it. But he says, this person, don't make us criminals. He thinks Saskatchewan needs to follow Alberta's plan and basically make firearms a provincial mandate. We'll get more on that potential topic with Tim McLeod, the Saskatchewan Minister of Corrections and Public Safety Minister, as he'll join us after the top of the hour. Busy morning on the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.